Thank you for continuing with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taking over from my colleague Haris Ashraf Hasnan. We're going to talk about some international news first. We'll start with Alibaba, as the group is planning to split into six different units, the biggest being restructuring of its infrastructure internally for the past 24 years, and they want to explore fundraisings or listings for most of them. This is a major revamp as China vows to ease a sweeping regulatory crackdown and support its private enterprises. The US listed shares of the Chinese e-commerce conglomerate, which have lost nearly 70% of their value since the curbs were imposed in late 2020, rose more than 14%. The revamp comes a day after Alibaba founder Jack Ma returned home from a year-long stay abroad, a move that dovetailed with Beijing's effort to spur growth in the private sector after 2 years of crackdown. Investors said that the split signals the clearing of regulatory worries and allays concerns that Alibaba had lost the potential to grow. The decision could also be partly a fallout of the US scrutiny of Chinese tech firms that raised national security concerns over TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance. Shares of First Citizens Bancassurance Shares Incorporated climbed to a record high yesterday, extending gains for a second day after scooping up the assets of failed peer Silicon Valley Bank. First Citizens rallied as much as 7.2%, briefly hitting an all-time peak of $959.99 before pairing gains. It was last up almost 2%. Trading in other bank stocks on Wall Street remained tepid, with the S&P 500 Banks Index dipping 0.1% and down over 20% in March this year. First Citizens, which has built a reputation of buying troubled rivals, on Monday bought all of Silicon Valley Bank's loans and deposits, giving the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, or FDIC, equity rights in its stock worth as much as $500 million in return. Investors sent a record net $236 million into the iShares Regional Bank ETF over the last 2 weeks. This is evidence that some investors are betting on a rebound in fundamentally strong regional lenders following the recent sell-off. The ETF was up 0.3% yesterday. Shares of SVB Financial Group, which operated Silicon Valley Bank, traded on Tuesday as an over-the-counter stock and were last at 28 cents per share, down from about $268 before the bank's collapse on all but complete loss for its shareholders. And now we move on to some news on McKinsey, as the company itself is embarking on a rare round of major job cuts with plans to eliminate about 1,400 roles. The consulting giant, which has seen rapid growth in its headcount over the past decade, is restructuring on how it organizes its support team starting this week, including workforce reductions or moving people into other roles. The total cuts will amount to about 3% of headcount that has ballooned to almost 47,000 from 28,000 just 5 years ago. Unlike some of the major financial firms it works with, McKinsey rarely carries out job cuts amongst its ranks. Even underperforming employees in client-facing roles tend to depart after being so-called counseled to leave, a phrase that indicates the company doesn't want them to client on projects and recommends them to try to find a different employer. The firm, known for devising workforce reduction plans for its own clients, had been looking to eliminate about 2,000 jobs, adding that the number of people to be cut from the firm could still change. Some news on oil prices. Crude oil prices edged up on Tuesday, extending sharp gains from the previous session on supply disruption risks from Iraqi Kurdistan and hopes that banking sector turmoil is contained. Brent crude futures settled at $78.65 a barrel, up 53 cents or 0.7%. WTI, or West Texas Intermediate U.S. crude, settled at $73.20 a barrel, gaining 39 cents or 0.5%. On Monday this week, prices rallied more than $3 after Iraq was forced to halt exports of about 450,000 barrels per day from its northern Kurdistan region through Turkey after an arbitration decision confirmed Baghdad's consent was needed to ship the oil. Barclays said that any protracted outage of Kurdish exports until the end of the year would imply a $3 a barrel upside to the bank's $92 a barrel Brent price forecast for this year. Oil prices were expected to draw continued support from signs of recovering demand in China and elsewhere. And now we move on to some news in the US market. Wall Street says major indices closed lower yesterday, while Treasury yields and gold advanced as investors worried that the US Federal Reserve would keep interest rates higher for longer as fears of further banking sector failures faded. Stocks had rallied on Monday as investors were relieved by no new signs of bank failures over the weekend and reassured by the sale of assets in collapsed technology industry leader Silicon Valley Bank, or SVB. Following weeks of banking turmoil after the unexpected failure of two US banks and the rescue of Credit Suisse in Europe, lawmakers quizzed top US bank regulators during testimony in Washington this week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 37.83 points, or 0.12%. The S&P 500 lost 6.26 points, or 0.16%, and the Nasdaq Composite dropped 52.76 points, or 0.45%. But the MSCI's gauge of stocks across the globe gained 0.19%, while emerging market stocks rose 0.73%. We now move on to some domestic news. Let's start with the equities. Bursa Malaysia is up 3.33 points or 0.24% as at 9.50 a.m. on a beautiful hump day, Wednesday, 29th of March. We're looking at the FBMKLCI at 1,412 points. We're also looking at trading of about 50 minutes into the day at 600,000 shares being done, valued at about 240 million ringgit. Gainers outdoing losers at 276 counters in the green, while 236 counters in the red. Some early movers include CFM down half a cent to 18 cent, Hong Seng down 1 cent to 10 cent, Data Prep down half a cent to 18 cent, and Sapura Energy, which is unchanged at 4 cent. These are some of the companies that we can talk about. One company that I can look at, of course, is AAX or AirAsia X. It is up 1 cent to $1.27. A company of interest, at least for myself, is Astro. Astro is down 1.5 cent to 67 cent. We'll talk more about the corporate news very shortly. But now, we move on to some global economic news to support our worldview of how things are changing for the first quarter of this year. Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis President James Bullard said that financial stress has increased in recent weeks due to the banking crisis, but can be contained with regulatory policies rather than interest rates. In his view, the appropriate macroprudential policy can contain financial stress in the current environment, while appropriate monetary policy can continue to put downward pressure on inflation. Meanwhile, in the US, the housing slump has stretched into a 7-month in January for this year. Home prices nationally in the US fell 0.2% since December last year. This is data from the seasonally adjusted data from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller. The index is now down 3% from its record high that was achieved in June last year. In its staying in the US, the Deputy Attorney General, Lisa Monaco, backed European efforts to freeze Russian central bank assets as allied nations looked to force Russia to pay for repair to the damage caused by the war in Ukraine. Monaco said that the group of seven, or G7 countries, has recently come together and made a commitment to say that they are committed to continue to immobilize those assets, as in Russian assets, wherever they are frozen, across the globe in jurisdictions that matter. From foreign economic news, we now move on to local Malaysian economic news. And of course, nothing is bigger than the conversation that is happening at the Ministry of Transport. This is because the MOT and the Johor State Government have reached an agreement that two projects should continue to be given priority, namely the Johor Bahru Singapore Rapid Transit System, or RTS Link, and the Gemas Johor Bahru Electrified Double Tracking Project. Johor Menteri Besar Dato' On Hafiz Ghazi said progress on the RTS has now reached 33% and is expected to be completed by the end of 2026. Meanwhile, the Johor Bahru Gemas Electrified Double Tracking Project has reached a 90.6% completed and is expected to be completed in April 2026. Also, the MOT has no plans to raise the payment rate for the VEP imposed on Singapore-registered vehicles into this country, VEP being the Vehicle Entry Permit. Anthony Loke, the Minister of Transport, said that the current VEP payment of RM20 will be retained. RM20 is about 4 to 5 Sing dollars. Still on Malaysian economic news, away from MOT, Sarawak's total imports rose by 45.5%, valued at RM35 billion for last year. This is coming in from MITI. In a written reply to the Parliament's website, the ministry said that the increase in imports were attributed to the imports of chemicals and chemical materials, petroleum products and metal ore and scrap. Still sticking with the Parliament, the Dewan Rakyat passed the RM388 billion revised budget 2023 yesterday with a majority voice vote after 18 days of debate. That's it. We have the news that the budget has been passed by the Dewan Rakyat. Continuing on with the Malaysian local economic news, the decision to stop the issuance of the Temporary Employment Visit Pass, or Pas Lawatan Kerja Sementara PLKS, for the employment of foreign workers in the textile, barber and goldsmith subsectors in June was made based on economic considerations and does not involve racial elements. This is coming in from the Home Ministry and Home Minister himself, Datuk Seri Saifuddin Nasution, after he said that the decision was also made as a result of feedback from industry players. Continuing on, the government is in active negotiations to secure 426 potential projects involving aggregate domestic direct investment and foreign direct investment of RM107 billion. MITI is saying that these projects are expected to be sealed this year. We have to talk a little bit more about some political news in the country. The Attorney General's Chambers, or AGC, has been instructed to come up with a proposal for establishing an independent body empowered to investigate complaints against all enforcement agencies after being announced by the Prime Minister, Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim. He said that when there were issues regarding the, for instance, IPCMC, or the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission, questions were raised by the police as to why it was targeted only at them, while these issues exist in all enforcement bodies. In his opinion, the better recommendation is to appoint an independent body that is empowered to take action and investigate all and any complaints against enforcement bodies. He said this on 28th of March yesterday. Meanwhile, the MACC, or the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission Deputy Chief Commissioner of Operations, Datuk Seri Kusairi Yahya, said that the level of corruption among enforcement officers on the front line had risen to worrisome levels. The MACC has identified 20 individuals, including two aides to a former prime minister, as having assets abroad linked to 1MDB. According to a source, the assets are in the form of properties, cash, shares, paintings and jewellery. The assets are part of the 30% of the remaining 1MDB-linked funds that the MACC is trying to recover. The assets are spread across several countries, including Hong Kong, France, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Singapore, the US, Kuwait, Germany, Mauritius and several other offshore locations. The disgraced former Goldman Sachs banker Tim Leisner named as one of the 20 individuals. Earlier this month, MACC Chief Commissioner Tan Sri Azam Baki said that more than 70% of 1MDB's assets and funds, equivalent to about RM29 billion, have successfully been recovered so far. Meanwhile, there is a piece coming out of CNN on 1MDB. I urge you to Google that. It was published yesterday. It makes for such an interesting read. Investigations related to the Pandora Papers also involve politicians within the current government blocked in Parliament, according to Datuk Sri Anwar. Whether charges will be pressed upon them, it is upon the AGC to do so. He said this at the Parliament yesterday. The statement also follows that he has no problems with investigations into the government's component parties, including his own party, PKR, over political funding. Responding to questions on whether the government intends to separate the role of the public prosecutor from the AGC, Datuk Sri Anwar said that although many in the governments around the world do this, the government would agree in principle, but it would take time to implement the separation as the matter is deemed to be a little more complex than thought. And of course, however, in the stage of execution, Datuk Sri Anwar says that they are still studying it because in terms of financial impact, it is estimated to cost an additional 300 million ringgit. So he agrees that this is not the main consideration. What is important, he argues, is that it is to ensure that the prosecution process is transparent and independent without elaborating further. That was a statement coming in from Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. To recap some of the economic news that has happened this week, the Finance Ministry says that they have no plans to use debt monetization to increase revenue. Government exploring reverse investment abroad to boost countries' food supply. According to the Securities Commission, they made two statements. One is Malaysia's total funds rose to 36.6% to 179 billion ringgit for last year. Meanwhile, the 109 billion ringgit could flow out if all international non-strategic investors exit local markets. That's an idea that we need to look at. Gamuda and Castle Forge plans to acquire Wessex Winchester Propco for 1.4 billion ringgit. Infomina bags 24 million ringgit purchase order from Philippines National Bank. And some international news coming in from corporate in Singapore. The C Group, riding on ecosystem synergies, we expect, according to CGS-CIMB, the SE's digital bank in Singapore to reach the initial regulatory deposit cap rapidly with minimal acquisition cost. Similarly, Shopee's vast customer and merchant base allows for C Money to easily cross-sell its credit offerings while minimizing credit risks. And CGS-CIMB also believes that the company C Group is now reaping fruits of its labor with the launch of multiple fintech products. As promised to you earlier, we're going to talk a little bit more about Astro Malaysia's core net profit, as it was only 81% of CGS-CIMB's full-year forecast, mostly because the turnover was below their expectation. But they believe that they take comfort in the group's subscription revenue and broadband sales, which picked up quarter on quarter for the first quarter of this year. In their view, this showed that the so-called new Astro transformation strategy is working. CGS-CIMB reiterates an ad call with a lower DCF, or discounted cash flow, based target price of 86 cent. To recap, Astro this morning is down 1.5 cent to 67.5 cent. Those are the kind of news that I can bring to you this morning. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.